Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Centre. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the programme tonight, 18 top scientists from around the world write to Science magazine and say that a theory on the accidental release of COVID from a lab in China cannot be ruled out. Joining us, leading experts who actually penned that letter and those who believe that the World Health Organization's clean chit to China is in fact correct. So we've got both sides. So our first question is this. Was COVID-19 created in a lab? Is more research needed to prove or disprove this one way or the other? Also on the show tonight, from daily wagers to printers to auto drivers, a string of arrests in the national capital after the appearance of a poster critical of the Prime Minister's handling of the COVID crisis. One of the posters asked Modi ji, why did you send our children's vaccines abroad? That apparently was deemed to be too offensive and perhaps resulted in many of those arrests taking place. But we're going to quickly move on now to our top story. It's an important one because for more than a year, a lot of you would have heard about the theory that this was in fact a biological weapon, was COVID, which had been perhaps produced in a laboratory, perhaps it had leaked out, or perhaps one way or the other, it was artificial. It wasn't in animal markets, it wasn't found in nature, and that it entered our system either accidentally or deliberately. The World Health Organization actually did a lot of research on this and came to the conclusion that that was perhaps not the case. But some of the world's leading scientists in their respective areas say that a lot more needs to be done to investigate this. Joining us now, Professor Ravinder Gupta, Professor of Clinical Microbiology at the Department of Medicine at the University of Cambridge. He's one of the signatories to that letter. Professor Prabhat Jha of Toronto University. He's the Chair in Global Health and Epidemiology. We're also joined by Dr. S.S. Lal, Global Public Health Expert, one of the Vice Chairs on the World Health Organization's Working Group. Dr. Rakesh Mishra, former Director for the Center for Cellular and Microbiology, Hyderabad. I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us. Professor Gupta, let me come to you first. Is there anything in the structure of COVID-19, the original strain, which leads you to believe that there is something more than what meets the eye?
No, I think that the point of the letter was not really to say that we have evidence or belief that the virus is engineered in some way. The point of the letter was to say that a proper investigation had not been completed with open access to the scientific records within the Wuhan Institute where they were carrying out coronavirus research.
We'll just fix your audio. It's a bit unclear over there. Professor Jha, let me come to you. Do you believe that this is a matter that needs to be reopened, that the evidence is reasonably strong that this wasn't a natural phenomena?
I believe the evidence is pretty overwhelming that it was a natural phenomena and that we're focusing on the wrong topic. The scientists that wrote that letter are justified in emphasizing that closed science and the inability of scientists to access data is a big part of this pandemic and it's prolonging this pandemic. So that certainly applies in China, where full details still are not shared about the trajectory of the pandemic. So much so that what I believe is an astounding success in China in being able to shut down the transmission in the community is in suspect because of the Chinese government's unwillingness to share data. But that data secrecy also applies to the Indian government and to even our governments in the West. You cannot walk out of the pandemic without having really widespread open access data, sequencing data, case data, death data. So I believe the scientists are raising a legitimate point, but on the wrong target.
All right. Do we have Professor David Drellman with us? All right. We've got, no, we don't have him with us as yet. Let me just go across to a few of my other panelists. Dr. Mishra, would you like to come in over here? Is there something mysterious that needs to be looked at very carefully as far as the COVID virus itself is concerned, or are you convinced along the lines of what the World Health Organization has ruled that in fact it was at animal markets where this originated.
So going by what we know today and what data is there in the public domain, that is the most likely theory, that the nearest animal source that we can locate at the moment is the H2 bat. And but the sequence similarity is not that much that we say that it directly has come from the bat. So there has to be one more intermediate reservoir for this, or the virus may have stayed in that animal. People say it's a pangolin, but that needs to be established. The other theory, that it may have leaked from the lab, is less likely, along with whatever scientific data is there, because there is no virus which any lab has, which has this much similarity that we can say it is leaked from the lab. So the idea that this has come from a natural source to a reservoir is likely or very likely, and from the lab is extremely unlikely. That is what WHO also said, and that is the general understanding. But we need to know more from the Chinese side, from their labs, and that data will never come. So we can keep debating that, and we can only know more about what is the, when the pandemic began, how it was handled in the early days. Those are the more interesting thing to come. As far as the origin of the virus is concerned, I think there is general consensus, although one can't say 100% sure, so therefore one can keep investigating. But I'm not sure that how much we are going to achieve in this investigation, because it will be very, very difficult to find another intermediate and that kind of reservoir which will explain that that's
sure.
What we'll do, and we have no hope for getting data.
All right, Dr. Mishra, one moment. I want to go back to Professor Gupta. Professor Gupta, what was the point in the letter written by 18 scholars, by 18 professors and researchers in Science magazine? If you felt that, that it was okay, it was kosher, what the World Health Organization has said, do you have any suspicions? Do you believe, in fact, that it was an artificially created virus?
No, I don't necessarily. I think the key thing to remember is that research was going on into coronaviruses in a Category 4 laboratory in Wuhan, okay?
Right.
There are only probably less than 10 such institutes in the whole of China, okay? So one has to realize that if you're working with these pathogens, you're collecting samples from the field, a lab accident is potentially possible. And it's not to say it's engineered, it's to say that people are working with viruses and accidents can happen. It's nothing to do with weapons or manipulation for an
right.
ulterior motive
right.
or anything negative. So all we were saying in the letter is that if you want to apply the rigor of science to the origin of this virus, which is what you would expect, given the amount of rigor that we have to apply every day to our scientific research on COVID-19, the virus evolution, biology, those principles have not been applied adequately to the origin of this virus.
Right. Dr. Lal, do you think that, given China's initial reticence to further research, and then, of course, they opened it up, and then the WHO came out with its report, more can realistically be done to try and figure out where this came from?
So there are two aspects. One is, what is the science? See, even the 18 professors, they are posing it as a kind of a hypothesis. So there is no evidence to say that China has cheated or China was trying to hide or it was created by China. So we don't have any evidence. There's a hypothesis. They will also say like that. And the WHO report is based on the investigations they have done. And I would like to believe what WHO says, because it has gone through a process and they have done it. There could be limitations for the process that they have done.
Right.
But we have to, yeah, so this is done, what WHO has done is, it was done in a scientific way. So that is that's one of the issues. The other issue is actually, we tend to blame China because China is very different. When I was working in Geneva, I had gone to China for review purposes. That country is not very transparent. They tend to hide things, and their system of governance is also different. That doesn't mean that China is hiding everything from the world, especially about COVID. Actually, they informed the world about this disease, and they shared the genetic constitution also, because of which other countries also could try making vaccines. So China has a history, and their behavior is different from other countries. you know, if something happens in India, it will be known to everywhere. Now, all people living everywhere. So that system is not there, and China has there is a lot of secrecy in that country and in the government.
All right.
That's why people have a tendency to blame that, no, it was created by China.
All right. I just want to go across to Professor David Relman from Stanford University, who also joins us, one of the signatories in that letter. Professor Relman, is it your belief that more research needs to be done on you know, where this virus came from? Or do you, in fact, believe that it was artificially created?
No, the first. We believe that much more research needs to be done. Our concern is that world opinion is getting ahead of the data, that the data don't give us a clear answer. On the other hand, there are multiple possible hypotheses that are plausible, and we simply need to do our jobs as scientists, collect the primary data, look at it critically, challenge ourselves, and then arrive at appropriate conclusions in a transparent manner.
So, Professor Relman, is there, on the basis of what you've seen so far, anything in the structure of the virus itself which could indicate that it's not natural?
In my opinion, no. But this is really because we remain very ignorant about these viruses in general. We've discovered that in nature, there's a huge amount of previously unrecognized diversity. And so the mere fact that we haven't seen a virus exactly like this one before shouldn't be used to conclude that it must have been man-made. Nature is wonderful at creating all kinds of diverse viruses, and it simply may be that we haven't found it yet in nature.
Professor Relman, why do you believe that the World Health Organization study is inadequate or incomplete in your estimation at this juncture?
There are probably a number of factors, but I think one of them is that they allowed politics to enter into their process early on, and it prevented them from doing the kind of rigorous, objective job that I think they're capable of doing. But at this point, they've made things very difficult for everyone else. And I think it's really just politics that has played a role.
What politics specifically?
Well, I think the interests of individual nations and national governments has been allowed to play a large role in designing how an investigation should be undertaken, when in fact, that really should be the province of scientists. Our job is to think critically, to remain objective, to challenge assertions, and to design studies that are meant to stand up to the you know, critical review of others. And I'm afraid that national governments and politicians don't fully understand how important it is to allow scientists to do their thing.
Professor Jha, you had a point to make. Go ahead.
Yes, well, I think, yes, the scientific standard that my colleague has laid out is absolutely true, the one to aspire to. But we have to be realistic about the politics here. Imagine if the virus originated in the U.S. and ask yourself, under the previous administration, would the U.S. government say we're going to get an international organization to come and investigate the virus? Flat out, no. China is similarly has the same kind of scientific or political ego. What we need going forward is to emphasize that scientific cooperation and the standards by which countries need to share data needs to be elevated. The next pandemic may well come from a Chinese wet market. That's what we very much know. And it's in everyone's interest not to try to blame China, but to see how we can cooperate, cajole, incentivize China to be a good global scientific citizen, in which data would be shared from the outset. This is really our challenge before us. We're not going to get anywhere by saying, well, perhaps the WHO report is incomplete, which I think it is. Therefore, something else may be going on. That's just, it's a circle for getting less science, not more scientific information.
Professor Gupta, if there was a new study done now to look for scientific data, what would you actually want to see in it, which is missing in the WHO report?
Yeah, I think that
the records of experiments done over the last 5 years or so, and the plasmids or the viruses that are used constructs in the category 4 facility, if they were made available, then sequence analysis could be done. I mean, you know, I think that would go some way to understanding what kind of viruses were in that institute, and I think that would be a really good start. But at the moment, the Chinese half of the team were responsible for reviewing those data and putting forward anything that they believed was important to the rest of the group. So there was potential for politicization at that stage or filtering of information. That is the thing that I think people are not pleased about. And Tedros himself openly said that he was not satisfied with the outcome or the conduct of that investigation. He actually went on record.
Professor Elman, one final question to you. You know, are people watching this program, and so many people around the world still have a query about whether this was deliberately done? Could this have been a biological weapon? Did they deliberately leak this? Is there any evidence, or I mean, are those theories out the window at this juncture? Are you just seeking more scientific evidence based on what you believe would be a natural cause, right? Or are you looking, or do you believe the theories of this being a potential biological weapon or a potential deliberate leak still have something that needs to be looked at?
I think we're saying two things. One, we need to look very critically and objectively at the data we have in hand. So far, those data do not give any evidence for the deliberate creation of a virus with the intention of deliberately releasing it. We don't have any information that supports that. And so I think we have to go with where the leads provide a reasonable path forward. And the leads are both natural origin and possible laboratory accident. But please remember, laboratory accident is something that happens everywhere in the world, including here in the United States. In fact, there are some amazing reports now showing how commonly laboratory accidents do occur everywhere at the best labs. And so I think we have to be very careful to do just as my colleagues have suggested, be honest about ourselves, be very open and collaborative, and think about how we can organize a better objective investigation for the future. This is also about the future.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank you all very much for joining us and explaining to us what really the scope of any further inquiry into what happened in China needs to be. Thank you very much for clarifying that. Thanks very much indeed. We're going to quickly move on now to the next part of our program. From daily wagers to printers to auto drivers, a string of arrests in the national capital after the appearance of a poster critical of the Prime Minister's handling of the COVID crisis. One of the posters asked, "Modi ji, why did you send our children's vaccines abroad?" Now, that evidently was enough to get people arrested, or that's the allegation. Senior Congress leaders, including Rahul and Priyanka Gandhi, set up their own posters and said, "Arrest me instead." Now, the arrests across Delhi have been made on a series of complaints by police personnel. We look very closely at the sections of the law that have been applied over here and really decide if you know, this was just meant to stop criticism or if there was something remotely in it. Let's take a look at this report. All right, we'll come to that story in just a few moments from now. I'm joined at this stage by the senior Congress leader, Pawan Khera, and we're also joined by Mr. PKD Nambiar, the political analyst, somebody who supports the BJP. Mr. Khera, do you believe that this is nothing but an attempt to stop dissent?
Well, it's not just happened in Delhi, Vishnu. It's happened in Manipur. Two journalists who put something on their Facebook were arrested yesterday. It was threatened in Uttar Pradesh that even doctors can't be going public asking for oxygen or informing people about oxygen shortage. Finally, the Honorable Supreme Court had to tell everyone that, sorry, this is not allowed. You cannot put people behind bars or take action against people if they are talking about shortages of oxygen, of drugs, of vaccine, whatever they are talking. So, of course, this is an attempt to muzzle voices. The government has been caught red-handed, failing miserably at very poor COVID management. Now they don't want people to know. Imagine, you've seen media also came under attack. Global media came under attack. Oh, please don't show dead bodies. This goes against the tenets of religion. What nonsense is this?
Yeah.
You have not been able to take care of the living. You don't want people to even see the dead. That's not how you handle a crisis. Let's come together and fight what can be fought.
Yeah.
What we are witnessing today, Vishnu, is not people dying of COVID, but people dying of COVID mismanagement. People
right.
dying of man-made shortages of oxygen. People dying of man-made shortages of drugs. And now vaccine, Mr. Modi was busy portraying himself as a vaccine guru of the world.
All right, Mr. Kera, let me get a quick response. You've made lots of points. Mr. Nambiar, was this really necessary? An auto driver, a printer somewhere, people who had no idea apparently on what exactly they were doing, they put up some posters. What was that wrong in those posters that we can't have them in our system?
I believe that putting up a poster by anybody should not become a crime, or I think the police needs to explain. I think other than that, every police action, the government or the government authorities may not be required to be answerable. But I believe that I wanted to start from where Pavanji left. It is not one such case which is happening in Delhi or under the Union government. What is happening today is that 119 people were arrested in Kerala in the till 2019 only just because of they were putting posts on the social media by the people against the Chief Minister of Kerala. Nobody, there was no national discussion. No Priyanka Gandhi, no Rahul Gandhi, no Pawan Khera was even criticized that particular move. Why this fascination about anything and everything about UP? Why not Kerala? Why not Rajasthan? Why not Punjab? Why not Chhattisgarh? My problem is that when a professor in Calcutta was arrested because of putting up a cartoon of Mamata Banerjee, where is this hypocrisy? Why the
All
people
right.
like Pawan Khera was not answering?
All right, Mr. Khera,
not only that,
no,
one more
standards.
Case. I will tell you, one more standard. During the UPA time, the Kudamkulam nuclear project,
yes,
I
yes,
believe
yes.
that you are the one who reported because you are an expert in this. The 5,000 people were put sedition cases by the UPA government, and not only that, the Chidambaram, then the Home Minister said, they are like anti-nationals. But where is this
double
standard?
Does that justify this?
I believe, I'm not.
You seem to be justifying that.
Know.
Let what happened during Kudankulam was awful.
Keep playing it. But Pavanji,
all right, but Pavanji, why don't you answer that question? He says that double standards.
Why faults like this?
Mr. Nambiar, one sec. Yeah, Pavanji, go ahead, yes.
Vishnu, let's assume for a moment whatever my colleague from the BJP is saying is right. Should successive governments repeat the so-called mistakes of a previous government? Is that why you were elected? Today, we are witnessing an unprecedented situation. You can't compare this situation with any other situation in the past. So you also can't compare the government reaction to any other reaction by any other government in the past. This is absolute mismanagement. Man-made shortages of oxygen is something which this country was not used to, and I hope it will never get used to in the future. You haven't seen such horrific sights of people just putting their bodies of loved ones in rivers. You haven't seen this in the past.
No, but you know, you raise a larger issue. And I'm trying to understand.
This is unprecedented.
No, Mr. Khera, of course.
Stop talking about the past. Stop talking about the future.
We are obviously
Please
in a crisis. But I'm just trying to understand these posters. Because this is part of, you know, I mean, it appears to be an effort to muzzle dissent, right? To if someone has something to say, let's not hear it. Let's just lock them up. Mr. Nambiar, this is really worrying. We are in a crisis. If people are complaining, what's wrong with it?
I think we are a democracy and everybody have the right to put up a poster or for that matter. And in the same time, there are people who have an objection to it. They also have the right to go and put a complaint. So I think what you said in your initial comment, the people who were arrested are printers, auto drivers, and they may not be. And it is a larger conspiracy that the people. I think Pavanji is the person behind it, the way he is showing it. But anyway,
Pavanji has said, arrest me today. Pavanji said that he's ready to be arrested. He says that why arrest those people? Let somebody arrest him.
So I am of an opinion, let the police reply for what the action they have done. And I think they are liable to give an answer. And I think we should be expecting that soon, anytime now. But the only thing, when a congressman comes up and say, talk about a freedom of speech or a democracy, I wanted to remind the learned Pawan Kheraji, in the first amendment of the constitution was done when, you know that? In 1951, the first constitutional amendment was done for the freedom of speech.
Unless you are very keen on history lessons, I think we should stop this here. And I want to ask my friend again.
I wanted to remind you.
When will we stop talking about the past and the future? When will we start talking about the present?
Both of you, if you can just bear with me for a moment. Let me just tell you the sections.
They'll only talk about yesterday. They'll only talk about tomorrow.
You see, what is the problem over here are the FIRs which have been lodged. They've been lodged under Section 188, disobedience to order, duly promulgated by a public servant. I mean, are we serious over here? Disobedience to order, duly promulgated. This could be slapped against anybody at any time, right? And Section 269, negligent act likely to spread infection of diseases dangerous to life. A poster, if you put up, will result in the spread of a virus. A poster that says, Modi ji, why did you send our vaccines abroad? I mean, what sense is there in this? I mean, it's throwing the kitchen sink at people, right? And that's worrying, Mr. Nambiar. I think that's what this is about. It's not just COVID that we are talking about.
I personally say that everybody in this society have the right, you and me and an auto driver to a common citizen have the right to have a dissent, to criticize the government, criticize the prime minister. That is what Pawanji, that is the reason we are having a discussion on this panel right now. Pawanji was talking about and showing it. If there is a 100% democracy in front of us, that is the reason Pawanji at 9:15 able to criticize the prime minister left, right and center. But the question here is that the double standard of Rahul Gandhi, Priyanka Gandhi, Pawan Khera, they have a standard for Kudamkulam. They have a different standard for Kerala. They have a different standard for somewhere else. Please stop this hypocrisy.
Mr. Khera, you have a right to reply. 30 seconds only. Double standard. Be consistent. Yes.
Vishnu, people feel cheated by this government. This government has to give answers. The opposition doesn't have to give answers. When our turn comes, we will give answers. When we were in power, we gave answers to silly questions, to unjustified questions, to all kinds of questions. Today, we are not in power. Our job, our duty to ask questions on behalf of this country. We will continue to do that. You want to arrest us? Please arrest us.
All right, I need to wrap this up. Mr. Nambiar, I'm out of time. Mr. Khera, I'm out of time. I have only a minute left for the next show. It's time for us to take this short break. You've been watching Left, Right and Center. Do stay tuned.